Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
It's that time of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Throwback Thursday.
We don't have weeks anymore.
What's a week? What's a Thursday?
What's a Thursday?
I know it's Thursday because I get to actually see you again, and you actually make it a Thursday now. But other than that, it's Wednesday, but we're preparing for Thursday.
You make it a Thursday now. What Bill Finn song was that cut from, that lyric? You make it a Thursday now, Marvin. Marvin wears socks, and Marvin breathes in, and Marvin breathes out, and this is a song. Thank you.
In trousers.
I just made that up on the spot.
It sounded like a Bill Finn song right there. I mean, geez. I thought I was actually on. I thought I skyped the wrong person for a second, but no.
Marvin eats eggs. Yellow books in a blue sky. Marvin.
It's like. Like that kind of accompaniment, you know? And just.
Oh, my God. Do you have a favorite Bill Finn song?
Oh gosh, you know, I must confess to you that, and I just like wrote at Carol Lee on Twitter, cause she had a picture of her from 2003 on Mondays and Sundays when the theater was dark at Lincoln Center, the Mitzi Newhouse Theater. They did a production of a song cycle of his called Elegies, which was kind of like an homage to a lot of people in his life. They're all death songs, songs by people that had died. It was truly one of the greatest experiences in the theater I've ever had to this day. It was just absolutely amazing. So in that, which song from there would I say is one of my, her singing Passover? I mean, but
sure.
The setup for Anytime, you know, that anytime you laugh, anytime you cry, there's Monica and Mark, his friends. There's a song about that. That setup, that whole sequence is one of the most heartbreaking, most beautiful pieces of storytelling and music. And it's all true. It's about a person who's dying and how they wrote it. But oh gosh, that's what solidified my love for Bill Finn. I'm a huge Bill Finn fan, actually. I love his stuff.
Are you really?
You know him, Falsetto Land.
Yeah, me too.
25th annual Putnam Spelling Bee is his sort of comedic thing, but his you know, like A New Brain is, oh my gosh, it's like one of my favorite pieces.
Oh, I know. I do love that one. I like that one a lot. Sorry, I keep.
I lost you. I can tell that you just totally got sidetracked by something. So I didn't get sidetracked.
I literally had. Okay, this is so bizarre. I have a light behind me now, which I never normally have, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye moving, and I was like, "What is that?" It was legitimately the light, reflecting. Sorry.
Okay, I'm glad at least it's not a ghost. I thought
no.
that, like the ghost
oh,
of
no, I don't know.
Of somebody was
no.
there.
You know, I you know what I just watched? I just watched this documentary on Hulu called Wrinkles the Clown. Have you guys seen this?
What is this?
I'm not afraid of clowns, but now I am afraid of clowns. Wrinkles the Clown. This is so creepy, Kevin. This was a guy down in Florida, a 65-year-old retiree, who would be hired by parents to freak out and punish their misbehaving children. And if you and they would do, and so what they would do is they would get the clown, they would give this guy like $100.
Lying.
And at 2 o'clock, I swear to God, you can watch the movie at 2 o'clock in the morning. He would knock on the kid's bedroom window, and when the kid would open up the curtain, there would be a clown. Why are you laughing? This is abuse. This is trauma. Why are you
as
laughing?
As a parent now, I just can't imagine as a parent the idea that you're like actually gonna you're gonna lose money to train your kid. I just it blows my mind, and then create a complex on top of it.
Well, now this is what terrified me. This is how they found him. There was a CCTV in a kid's bedroom, and the parents hired him to wait. They literally wait till it's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. The girl is asleep in her bed, and she's in a trundle bed. You know where there's drawers underneath the bed. All of a sudden, the drawers come out.
And he's under
the fucking drawers and climbs out and then like tries to wake the daughter to scare her. So she can you imagine?
It is horror films. Creepiest. It's not funny at all.
Oh my God. It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. So I don't know how I got onto this topic.
what you've been up to?
My favorite thing this week is Sending the Clowns.
Oh, get out of here.
We were talking about Bill Finn songs. I love Anytime. I love Anytime. Anytime you laugh, anytime you cry, anytime.
Serious, you know,
it's gorgeous. I'll be there on the baseball field, but da da da. Yeah, okay, cool. But my other favorite Bill Finn song.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Yeah, dead. Got it. You're dead.
First of all, I like this song. I like this song that's coming up. But in the mid-2000s, this was like the Bill Finn showcase song. So every girl with like blonde hair and black roots and a nice jewel-toned dress and some Capizios could be seen singing the most artificial rendition of I Have Found I have ever seen in my life.
Well, because Carol Lee didn't. She was like 7 months pregnant when she did on that Infinite Joy CD. So we heard that mix, and it was when mixing was now pretty cool. So everyone emulated that Carol Lee, like, I have found. And it's like this. If you don't know what we're talking about, you guys got to go listen to it. Carol Lee singing I Have Found. It's like a siren. It's
Carol Lee sings it, and it's a home fucking run. Like, it's a home fucking run. She sounds gorgeous
the
on
build
it.
Up, the build up at the end. It's
she
like,
has got,
I
and she's have. Like, and she's like, I'm going to riff for you really early on in the song. It's not like we're going to build to a riff. She's like, we're going to just start off with riffing. And you're like, great, fantastic. And she sounds great. And there's so much warmth on it. But oh my God, Kevin, 2005 to 2008-ish, this song I Have Found was everywhere. And like I said, it's always a girl in jewel-tone dress, blonde hair, black roots.
Yep.
And she's got on. And whoever has directed her has said, you know what would be great for this? You know what they love to see? It's Stuart Whitley. They love If You Have a Secret. Think of
it. Oh, yeah. Always walk in with a secret.
Just think of it. And there would be a girl, and she would just come out in her jewel tone dress, and she would just, I'm doing the face for you, but I don't know if you can see it. It's like this it's this blank stare, and I'm like,
teeth
looking,
are showing.
And I'm, my teeth are showing. Teeth. Yep. And I am looking into the future.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing it. And I can tell you that.
You're finding it. You found it.
I have found.
Yeah, there it is. Simple. Just say it. Just say the
word. And the director always told him, you know, at the end when she says Broadway bound, explode, because you know that's your dreams. That's your dreams when you leave here at Milliken. When you leave here at Roosevelt, you will see
Elon.
When you are leaving Elon, you will see that this is your dream. So let Jay Binder's intern know when he sees your showcase what you're thinking of. And then the girl goes, that goodness and warmth are as dramatic in their way as any Broadway play. Broadway bound. Is that it? Right? And warmth are as dramatic in their way. Repeated. As any Broadway play. Because remember, what they're going to be looking for at the showcase is if you sing something and then you sing it again, how have you made it different? And
you can't sing the same way twice. That's right. Rule 101.
No way. The same way twice.
No.
I, I just want Mark Simon to sit there and go, wow, wow, look at you. She changed it up in two different ways. And my favorite way of changing it up, everyone, please get off your phone. My favorite way of changing it up, everyone, is to just laugh comment on something. So as any Broadway play, Broadway bound, it says that you're real and you have a sense of humor. Okay. Class dismissed. Enjoy your ballet final, everyone.
That was good.
See you at showcase. Kevin, may I talk to you after class about your showcase song?
And we love Elon, and we love Billiken, and we love, we're not saying, we are just using this for the parody of the joke. It was for those schools. If anyone is a listener of those schools,
last week, Caleb Albert, the kid we just, he went to Elon. You see,
we love
all you people. You Jesus. Know.
Can I tell you what I've been doing to pass the time?
Sure.
If we can move on from the Bill Finn. That's a good one, by the way, that song. I have been with my wife. We wanted to find a little joy somewhere indoors. We enjoy the Disney, Rob. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if you like Disney. I don't know if you have been to the parks. But what we do is, go with me on this. We go to YouTube.
I like to smile. Yep.
We go to YouTube. There's these people that go into the parks and they take a video of every single moment. They like just take you on a walkthrough of the parks. So what we've been doing is, they last like an hour and a half. We do a walkthrough of the park. When it gets to a ride we want to see, we pause the YouTube video. Then we go to somebody who's ridden the ride and they're like in the front row of like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So we watch that go on the ride, which feels really real because they take you on the journey, go through it, then continue on where do you want to go next? I don't know. Let's go to the Country Bear Jamboree. Go there. Watch that show. He's yawning, guys. I literally am watching Rob yawn. His hand is over his mouth, so at least he's covering it. He's going to try to play it off, but it's not.
I've been up since 7 a.m. I'm not disinterested in what you're telling.
I'm messing with you. So that's what we've been doing. We've got Magic Kingdom done, Epcot. Now it's, what next? I don't know. Animal Kingdom? I don't know. We'll see.
Magic Kingdom.
That's how we've been passing the time.
Disneyland.
I watched? I watched the Pirates of Penzance on Broadway HD. Did I mention that last week?
Kevin Kline one?
Oh my gosh, Rob. It is like a masterclass in acting, and yet it's an operetta, and it's Gilbert Sullivan.
Oh my God. The production is so good.
He's so good.
Kevin Kline?
This is not my favorite thing, but yes, I just wanted to mention that Pirates of Penzance, the one in the park, you know, with him, and it's Linda Ronstadt and Rex Smith, all of them. The filming is, you know, it's scratchy. You can't really see anything, but it doesn't matter. He's so good. He's just
you watch the live
Broadway
version.
HD.
Not the film, because you know they made it into a film.
I do know that. Yes, yeah. With Angela Lansbury, right?
Yes.
But, this is
Patricia Rutledge, live, right?
Yes, yes, yes. The great Patricia Rutledge.
I love her.
My gosh, she's amazing. She is so special. We could do a whole podcast about her, actually, because...
You know, she's still alive.
Really?
Yeah, she's like 90s.
Kevin Daly is like killing me right now. Yeah.
She's in the mid-90s. She's in her mid-90s, and I think she still lives in...
Yes, I know she lives abroad.
Yes,
that's right. In London, maybe. Yes, that's right. Because she... Huge career. I mean, like, gosh.
Yeah, huge career.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but, people probably know her from Keeping Up Appearances if you're a PBS person.
Yes.
The bouquet residence, the lady of the house speaking. It's not bucket, dear. It's bouquet.
There it is. That's it, folks.
Yeah, that's it. That's so cool, though. The Disney thing is fun.
You know, it's silly, but you know what? I must say that it only works if you've actually been to the parks, I think, because what you do is you remember your own experiences, and then you also, it does, like, I was happy. I was happier by the end of it, and it was like a silly little thing, but it really actually was fun, and it actually sparked some joy. So I was
Marie Kondo.
You know it. You know, I Marie Kondo'd my sock drawer and my underwear drawer a year ago. Still doing it, and it works.
Kevin only wears flip-flops and goes commando.
You see, that's it right there. How did you come up with that so quick? That is stupid. How you can, like, that was a great joke.
That you, oh my God, Kevin is complimenting me.
No,
to borrow money.
No, get out of here. But continue my Venmo, like everyone else on Facebook, I will just put my Venmo in the bio so you can just hit me up. I got a live performance in 10 minutes. So we got to wrap this up pretty quick, Rob, because I go live every day.
Kevin had this idea, folks. I want you to tweet at him to encourage this. Kevin has this really great idea. He wants to play like a song from like an un, underappreciated musical and post it on Insta. And I'm like, what are we waiting on?
Well, yeah, I'll give you reasons why. No, but I'll tell you what the idea is that I thought it would be fun to just put out in the universe songs that maybe you don't know, like with a love song in Kwamina, or a song from Green Willow, or insert any of the shows that have been favorite things. You know, we definitely have a list. Here's the challenge. One, I feel like the market is saturated right now.
Not with good shit.
I do feel like the market is a bit saturated. So that's part of that turns me off. Also, I have a family and a baby, and it's just stupid hard to find alone time to actually do that kind of stuff. But I like right now when I get off with you, I should not watch a Murder She Wrote or a Love Boat, but I should actually go do some work and actually put that on.
Okay. Every time you do one, I'll Venmo you a dollar. And the first one I want to see is Why Can't I Walk Away from Maggie Flynn, starring your favorite Jack Cassidy. That's the first one I want. That's the first one I want to see. Why Can't I Walk? And I will send you the music. You tell me what you need.
I think I got it from Michael Levine actually as well, because I did it at Robbie Rozelle's one of his Tuesdays show, which I lament the fact that we lost that. But
Robbie's show?
Yeah.
Oh, at 54? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I lost you again. I know. Are you? Yes. Yes.
I was pulling up my notes.
I'm just messing with you.
I'm paying you a whole goddamn dollar to sing Why Can't I Walk Away.
No, that's a good one. And that was like a big audition song in like the 80s. Like that was, everyone did that song. One of our.
It's the I Have Found.
No, it was the I Have Found of 1986. Yeah. Thank you.
I Have Found of 1986.
What next? What else do I have on here?
That's so niche. I was the I Have Found of 1996.
96, though. What would that would be? What would be the I Have Found? Probably a Nancy Lamott song. A Nancy Lamott song kind.
Nancy.
You know, God bless her. I mean, rest in peace. I mean, what an amazing woman. What an amazing
Moon
voice.
Moon River, wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style someday. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nancy Lamott. And then everyone applauds and she makes her way up to the...
David Friedman playing at the piano.
David Friedman is just playing his heart out. Oh, my God. That's a good one, Nancy Lamott. That's a good one.
All right. Shall we do a favorite thing?
Well, if you insist. Yeah, I'm ready.
I mean, why not? We're here.
I mean, I was just enjoying myself. I was like, no, get to work. Okay. Who shall go first?
You go first.
Okay. All right. Ooh, I'm excited about this. I must say, I thought I knew all this campy Broadway shit, and I don't. And I drop my pad, and I don't. Hold on. I'm going to get my legal pad up here. Okay.
It looks very professional.
And I was scrolling around on the Instagram, folks, and other podcasts, Broadway themed, and it's fabulous, My Little Tonys, posted a video on their Insta that I had never seen before. And I messaged them and I said, what is this holiness that you put up there? And they told me, oh, just YouTube, Richard Simmons, Broadway Sweat. Once again, folks, that is Richard Simmons, Broadway Sweat.
Oh, I really like where this is going.
So, folks, if you don't know who Richard Simmons is, this might not be the podcast for you. I would encourage you.
There's a great Missing Richard Simmons podcast.
Oh, that podcast is great. Richard Simmons, folks, was a very popular weight loss guru in the 80s, 90s, and up. He's actually, ever since the 80s, he's been really popular. And his big thing was a program called Sweatin' to the Oldies, where he would play rock and roll music from the 50s and 60s and do modified dancing with it. And it was on VHS and you could buy it. And a lot of people lost a lot of weight, but he was very flamboyant. He was very flamboyant. He used to go on the Howard Stern show all the time. I used to love when he was on the Howard Stern show because he would always leave crying and just be like, Howard, you're mean to me. Off he would go.
I binged that podcast because he disappeared from public life.
Yeah, so then he disappeared from public life. And people are like, is he murdered? Is he hiding? Why isn't he allowed out? And what was the name of the podcast? Richard Simmons is Missing, right?
Missing Richard Simmons.
It's so good. Anyway, you should listen to that. So anyway, this is way.
I listened to the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, no.
So Richard Simmons, Broadway Sweat is what.
Yeah. So folks, this came out in 2000. It was filmed at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood in front of no audience. They just do a lot of shots of empty seats, which is okay.
Good for the COVID.
He was 20 years ahead of his time. In Broadway Sweat, Richard Simmons is on a Broadway stage, and the music he is choosing to use to change people's lives is the music of Broadway. Now, here's a couple of things. First of all, it's all tracks. I cannot tell who is singing. These are not original cast recordings. And I watched all of the credits, not once, but twice, to see if they had listed who the singers were. They did not. Folks, I need you to tell me who these singers are, because these are the most bizarre. Some of them are very bizarre versions of these songs. Okay, so there's a couple of people, though, I would like you to keep an eye out for. And thank you, God, Richard Simmons, for doing this. So it's a core group of like 30 people in this class. And at the end, he gives them all a curtain call. So it's a frozen screenshot with their name in front of it. So I want to just point out a couple of stars, if I may, and then we'll talk about how the workout works. First of all, you're going to fall in love with the new star on Broadway, Carlos Ortiz. Carlos Ortiz is the guy wearing the green tank top. He's in a lot of these, and he's always just happy as can be. You'll also enjoy the dancing stylings of Maria Luna, who is over it by a mile and a half. Maria is just there in a red dress, no face, no happiness. Now, you're going to love Grace Slick, or she's known, and this is Lady Wallgiver. Lady Wallgiver is bleach blonde hair and a ribbon in her hair. She literally looks like Grace Slick. She looks amazing. My personal favorite, though, you will see her, folks. Her name is Janet Preston. Janet Preston. She looks like every single angry soccer mom from the 1990s that led into every single angry bank teller in the 2000s to every single angry Joann's Fabric employee of the 2010s. You will not miss her. She's in the blue dress, Janet Preston. So how does this all work? Well, first of all, like any warm-up, and this was all new to me, not that he made a video, but like exercise in general. And so what he does is you apparently go through a warm-up and then a really peak level of intensity and then something called a cool-down. That's where, like, you get your heart rate back to normal after the intensity, right? So this is how he's built it. So there, the warm up, folks.
Oh,
is
my God, Rob?
Are you watching it? So the opening is he starts off with "There's no business like show business," and he. By the way, he looks fabulous.
People are a mess. People are all over the place. They don't know where to go. They're like,
it's about sweating. It's not about the choreo. He's wearing a purple tank top and purple sweats, and the purple tank top is bedazzled with the comedy and drama masks. Just so you know, hey, it's legitimate theater, but we're having a good time. Then after they all dance, and I'm using that word in quotations to "There's no business like show business," they then move on into MAME, the title number of MAME, at which point the scenery changes. They drop in scenery.
Step ball change. Yep.
And I'm going to be honest with you. This choreography for MAME is probably the best choreography for MAME I've seen since Connie and Carla. So now that you've done the warm-up and you feel pretty good about yourself, I think it's time we actually start to increase that heart rate. And what better way to increase that than with "Shall We Dance," Rodgers and Hammerstein's "Shall We Dance." But it's like put on triple time, and whoever is singing Anna, say the word scintillating.
Scintillating.
Not scintillating. And we might be similarly occupied.
We might be similarly occupied.
She goes similarly occupied,
like similarly.
Yeah, similarly occupied.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And I'm like, something does not sound right. I don't know who this woman is singing. Then he's like, let's have a good time. Now, here's something I really appreciate. Anyone who wants to do it can then go into a higher intensity cardio workout. And that would be ease on down the road. Now, if you don't want to ease on down the road, and this is what I really appreciate about Richard Simmons, because he lets people like
I just want to pause you right now. And guys, if you're listening to him while he's describing this and you pull up YouTube and just kind of fast forward and watch as Rob's describing it, I just have to tell you, he's done his work that it's actually, it is actually a fantastic journey. So if you just want to pause and go back and do it, I just want to recommend
pretty amazing
going forward.
Yeah, please, so please, they all do ease on down the road. And then if you don't want to participate, you get to sit on the set and you just get to relax and sing along. And I'm like, that I can do. Then the big one, guys, the big one, June is busting out all over. They do June is busting out all over. And suddenly it becomes like we're in Carousel. A fucking set comes out. People are like background actors walking around, like pulling crates and wagons. And you're like, what? All of a sudden they're doing a fucking show. Now, all this choreography is by a guy named Dorian Grusman. So Dorian, great work. Then my personal favorite for my people, they go into L'Chaim from Fiddler on the Roof. And let me tell you, folks, the exercise for L'Chaim is very simple. It's like grapevine, grapevine, touch, grapevine, touch, right? You don't even have to do this exercise. You just watch the people's faces because they are living their shtetl lives. Because that, you know, was a big activity during the pogroms in Russia was, are we losing enough weight? That's a big one for everybody. So good for all of you. It's very odd. It's what Jerome Robbins was missing. That's why Fiddler on the Roof didn't run so long, was because they were missing the neon glow sweatpants.
Wow.
This movie came out in 2000. It looks like it was filmed in 1992. Then you got to do a nice big rousing number after L'Chaim. Get back to goddamn American values. We're going to do 76 trombones. And he's got trombones going.
Drums.
He's got things going, drums. Then they do Oklahoma, you know, which is really great. Now it's time for the cool down, folks. Now, for the cool down, first of all, I don't think I've mentioned this. Have I mentioned that he changes his outfit in every single number? Every single number, he's wearing something different. So this is how the one, which is going to be our finale, is going to go. Richard Simmons literally comes up in a sparkly silver tank top from a trap door in the set. He literally he ascends from the pits of hell, some general nutrition store where they have no fats or carbs. He comes up and he goes, let's sing. And they do in a spot, and they do one. And then of course he ends it with tomorrow. So that's your cool down, one and tomorrow. It is all on YouTube. It is all free. It is an hour and 1 minute long. And it is maybe one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It's Richard Simmons' Broadway Sweat. A big thanks to My Little Tonys for posting a clip, because otherwise I would have no idea. And I'm going to be honest with you. Tomorrow, I am going to try the exercises. I'm going to try doing the video, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Well, there's two things I want to know. One is, how did that go? And the other thing is, does anyone come back to us and tell us who the singers are? Because even just previewing it on my, you know, I was watching it as you were talking about it. You're right. These, I want to know who made these tracks. Who did they just ask someone that they knew in LA? It's a studio city. So there's lots of studio musicians, lots of singers. I wonder who did it? Someone's got to know.
Someone has to know, folks. It sounds so bizarre to me. And like I said, this is all wonderful. I mean, and then he also is putting up the number of, like, the pounds of, Jesus, I'm so tired, the amount of weight people have lost. And it's fabulous. And it's wonderful. And
I noticed that. Yes.
And he changed people's lives. I'm saying you watch this because it is legitimately camp goodness and brilliance. And God bless him, because I think he was a wonderful, wonderful, positive role model. And I hope he comes back some point. But that was mine. Richard Simmons, Broadway Sweat.
Really, really good one. Really, really good one. Well, mine, I think that was felt like a guided journey on your clip. And I think mine is going to be something somewhat similar, a guided journey on a episode. It is time to talk about what we alluded to last week, my friend. The story is this. I don't have cable on my TV, so I only can watch what the antenna gods give me. And actually, New York City has some really great antenna channels, like Decades, MeTV. We have the Movies channel, which is like all the movies that don't make it to TCM. But you still get some good gems in there, right? But one day, when this whole thing started, it was a day of, on Decades channel, Love Boat reruns. Because as crazy as it may seem, it's actually really hard to find complete Love Boat episodes unless you have a box set. I looked on YouTube. I looked everywhere. They're really hard to find.
Is there a box set?
I just made that up. I just figured if there was one, you probably had it. But I happened to stumble upon this marathon. And as this episode started, I watched Love Boat a little bit here and there. I don't love it. It's silly. It's a campy show.
Was that your Christopher Walken? I've watched.
I don't really watch it. No, I don't. I don't love it. But I actually enjoy the simple storyline.
Because you prefer Fantasy Island more.
I prefer Golden Girls. But now I've actually grown to really appreciate Love Boat. So this episode starts, and all of a sudden, there's Carol Channing. There's Van Johnson. There's Ethel Merman. There's Ann Miller. There's
Van Johnson at the Palace Theater. La Cage aux Folles at the Palace Theater. If you don't know what that is, go back and just look up Van Johnson, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Oh man,
Van Johnson. Sorry.
So in this Love Boat, this is episode. If you have a box set at home,
that's what I'm looking
up. It's season 5, episode 20 and 21. It's a two-parter. Now, the problem is, I've looked everywhere. By happenstance, I stumbled upon part 2. I did not get to see part 1. So I did not know that, you know, that this was a two-parter. It was luck that I saw it. I've tried to find it on YouTube. You can only find the montage. That's okay, because in this Love Boat episode, it is both a musical. So if you guys know Love Boat, there's usually 3+ storylines going on in an episode. So you've got 3 stories to follow, right? And it all takes place on like a cruise line, right? That's the whole thing. And there's like the steady cast, and then they have the guest stars that come on every single week. So every single week, you never know who you're going to get. Sometimes it's like Broadway people, sometimes it's TV people, blah, blah, blah. It's very silly, and it's fun. Well, this episode, one of the storylines, the one with Van Johnson and Ethel Merman, it was a musical. Cage aux
Folles, like, Palace Theater with George Hearn. Sorry.
No, it's fantastic. Because it's
fantastic.
True. Good old Van. It's fantastic. But their storyline was a musical. So, they actually sang songs to further their plot and their storyline. And then there was the other storyline that the cruise line was putting on a show. They were doing like a Follies, and so they have that big production. So you've got production numbers, but then stories within a story. So in this episode, this is again, type in YouTube, Love Boat musical. That's it. You will not find the full episode because I can't find it anywhere, but what you will find is a 3-part montage. It will say montage 1, montage 2, montage 3. Check that out. Start with 1. Go through. Whole thing, 20 minutes. It's like 8 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and 5 minutes. The first sequence. First of all, let me give you just a little background on some of this stuff. There is additional material written and parodied, and the guy who wrote the music for this and wrote some of the lyrics and wrote the storyboard for the musical episode with Ethel was a guy named Ray Jessel. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because Ray Jessel, J-E-S-S-E-L, we've talked about because...
Let It Ride? Did he do Let It Ride?
But very good, though. He did, I don't think so, he did Baker Street. That was like his big...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then he went to Hollywood, and then he became a producer, and he did lots of... He lived to be, like, I think, into the 2000s.
Georgie Jessel.
Hello,
Mama.
Oh, my God.
That's very vaudeville. I'm sorry.
No, please. No, that's good.
Sorry. I hope you enjoyed the Georgie Jessel impression.
Have you seen this episode, Rob?
I am like you. I have not seen the actual full episode. Or I am different than you. I have not seen the full episode. I have seen some of the clips because I know we talked about it last week. And
the
I was
full
interested.
Episode is like even it's so campier because you've got real storylines going on, and then you've got F. I mean, like, I'll get to it, but she like literally sings a gypsy song and to show her love for Van Johnson, how she misses him, and that she's convincing him to be with her. So just to throw it, I'm just going to start with the beginning. So we have the first musical sequence is how we hear, I think it's they talk about how Ann Miller is going to make her entrance, her character, and how she's like, you know, it's obviously it's going to be a big moment. And of course she does make a big entrance. She has, I feel like it's like all these ladies, all these like, you know, Ethel Merman, you know, Ann Miller, Carol Channing, Della Reese, even they all had in their contract that they all had to have like 5 minute solos and the biggest production number possible. Ann Miller progress gives you a full-on MGM musical production number of she is like tapping on a table. She's got a full chorus of boys all around her. You get the fake tap sounds that you normally have.
Do we know if this is pre-Sugar Babies or post-Sugar Babies?
It's 1982.
Oh, post-Sugar Babies.
So it's post-Sugar or when they were on tour, because then they would have toured for like 2 years. But she is like killing it. She is giving it full. I mean, like, when did Ann Miller ever market? I don't think marking was like in her lexicon. At one point, they have like flaming meat in her face, and she's just like has her hands up. Like,
honey, let me tell you something. Last time I had flaming meat in my face, I was out there helping Cesar Romero pick up his contacts.
I just feel like Leroy is going to come. Leroy Rames is going to show up any minute now and just like pop in our Zoom room and be like, oh, I got a story about Ann Miller. Oh, I can tell you about Ann Miller.
I have a story about Ann Miller. He did tell us a story about Ann Miller that we can never repeat for fear of going to jail.
So what I love about this number is that all the other stars are ostensibly just sitting there watching Ann Miller be a bigger star because she gets the first star entrance. I think that's a lot of fun. Della Reese is like the mother to like the one of the regulars in the series. His name's Ted Lang. He plays the bartender. And so that's
Isaac.
They do like a mother. They do a mother and son thing. Yeah, Isaac. And they do a mother and son thing. You make me feel so young. She's giving you serving up straight up Pearl Bailey and her quips and her asides. It's like very, very crazy. Ethel Merman, finally, we get to see her storyline. Her storyline with Van Johnson, like I said, their storyline is a musical. So she goes from, she expresses her emotions through song. And her first song is that golden oldie in 1982, Kiss the Day Goodbye. So she is on a banister and you get the sense. Now, I read somewhere that they said that this was her last performance on screen because this was 1982. She died in 1984. She, you can tell that what I love about these clips is that you really get a sense that she's not commenting. She's not marking. She is giving you, she's full out. She knows that like this is going to be captured forever. So she's singing Kiss the Good. Yes, you still get, you know, but I can't forget what I did for love. Like, you still get that at the end of it.
And I did for love.
Not laugh. But she's getting emotional when she's singing and it's quite,
you know, love is never gone.
Last but not least in this first montage is Carol Channing. She gets her moment now. So each of the star ladies, all four of them, they each get like a 4 to 5 minute song in this first section. Now, Carol Channing, she starts with You're the Cream of My Coffee, which goes into Button Up Your Overcoat. And it is, it cracks me up because there's like guys cleaning behind her. And you're like, why are they, what is going on in this cruise line? And they're cleaning. And then they proceed while she's singing her verse to put her in a cleaning uniform. And then her dance sequence is her cleaning with all of the men around her cleaning up the cruise line as they are dance cleaning. And then, of course, she does her Carol Channing jokes where she ends the song where she's like, talk it up here, and ends down here. And you know how she does that where she ends on like a really and it always cracks me up when she does that basement thing where she drops it down really low. But I love it. It's one of my favorite Carol Channing.
I saw that once and was like, I know what to do now.
Did Carol ever guest on Golden Girls?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm wrapping up. I'll move quicker. So then we get to the next part is the Follies Quartet. So that's where Ethel and Carol and Anne and Della all come out and sing I'm the Greatest Star as a quartet. It's full of camp and they're all competing for the spotlight and literally on like as the characters, but is it the characters? Because it's them. They are all literally competing for that. Ethel sings another Van Johnson song with him where she has to convince him to stay and she goes in dialogue where she's like, forget about the past. You can I can just see the future. I had a dream, and she goes into like it's a Barbara Streisand concert. You know, the dialogue just seemingly goes right into the song. She sings; they make her sing "Everything's Coming Up Roses" to him to make him stay with her. So the circumstances of the song has now changed.
The given circumstances is something that's totally acceptable in this performance. Thank you so much. Don't forget, come back tomorrow. for our Rutgers University Musical Theater Showcase, Singing Sondheim, where we only sing the scene change music of Stephen Sondheim's musicals. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Because that is something they would obsess over, is the scene change music. So two last little points. One thing to look at is the very final performance. It's in the last clip. It's the third montage. It's perhaps the most important one. It's where they do the ports of call. It's when they're in the Follies in the cruise line itself.
I've seen this. So
this is perhaps the most famous version. First of all, notice how the audience that's watching the show is like in a ballroom. There's like 50 people there. They're clapping. The ceiling is as high as our ceiling in our apartments. You get cut to the stage. The stage is like the biggest MGM sound stage you've ever seen in your life, and then cut to the audience and they're like clap clap clap. But so they go through the ports of call, and they sing Beautiful Girls from Follies. You know, they're like, hats off, here they come, those beautiful girls.
Who sings Queen it? Of the,
it's Van Johnson for a little bit, and then Cab Calloway sings it for another one, and then back to Van again. They each take turns, the men do. Della Reese is the Queen of the Caribbean, obviously, and they make a big entrance down this big grand, you know, staircase, like an old movie with fur coats and like a wintertime, based on whatever they are, Alaska. Ethel Merman, of course, is Miss Acapulco, question mark? She comes in wearing a full-on sombrero hat and like gives you, like, you could see she's not pleased. She was not pleased that she got Miss Acapulco.
I have my own burrito.
Next up, of course, Ann Miller. Who else would she be? Miss Panama, obviously, with a big bird in her hat, and comes down with like, and she, you could tell she fought to get a dance, like a little dance moment. Like she's like, just give me eight, just give me eight. I can do eight, just give me eight. Give me eight count. And they're like, Ann, no, we got to keep going. So she tries to do a little dance and they don't let her. And then they prance around. There's a huge finale. And the Camp Factor is truly one of the most amazing sequels. It's just absolutely incredible. All right, I'm done.
I think that was incredible. And this is all available for us on YouTube to watch.
YouTube, go please, please, please just type in Love Boat Musical and look at the montage, number one, number two, number three. If anybody knows how to find these full episodes, please, because it is the scene work. Yeah.
It's because I just looked. It's not on DVD.
My memory is that the scene work Carol Channing did in these, some of the other story plots are just, I need to see that again. It's important.
All right, here we go. I'm going to quiz you right now. Ready?
Oh, gosh.
Love Boat theme song. Who sang it? And go.
Yeah, Jack Jones, of course.
Oh, he did so good there, folks. That was fast.
I actually have three records of Jack Jones. He was like a true theatrical crooner. So every tenor should know who Jack Jones is, because gosh, I wish that we lived in the days where we could just belt a song out and really it doesn't matter what story you're telling. Just make it sound good. Just
exciting and new.
Oh, man.
Come aboard.
Fun fact. He did not compose the theme songs. Different people compose theme songs, but the composer who wrote the incidental music for all Love Boat, all those series, who is he? We just interviewed his wife.
Ben Lanzarone?
That's right.
Eileen Graf's husband did all the scene change music?
He's the composer. He's the credited composer for Love Boat. So whenever there was like I think it's like Charles Fox or someone wrote the themes.
Sure.
But the actual day-to-day episode music.
Like, I'm going to walk to the starboard. Do, do, do,
do, do. So if it's Golden Girls. Do, 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 do.
Good. Or sometimes where it's serious.
On the boardwalk when Sophie meets the older. I hate that episode.
Where he's got dementia and he doesn't have
and she has to like, and he's not there. And I always skip that episode.
Oh, that's a sad one.
We don't want the sad one. And it's the same episode where they have to like, they lose the bear. Don't they lose? She loses her bear. Like the Girl Scout, right?
The Girl Scout won't give back the bear. She's holding it hostage. I heard a really good story about that. I heard that Betty White, that girl, the little girl who's with the bear, apparently was a real asshole, and her mom was even bigger asshole. And in the scene where, hopefully not a spoiler alert, Betty White opens up the front door and she like grabs the bear out of the girl's hand and like she pushes the girl out the front door. Betty White said, she goes, I made sure to do it extra hard because I really didn't like this little girl. And when you watch the scene, you literally see the girl like, she's not acting. She goes flying into the wall. That's all.
That's like on the Friends episode with the kid, Ross's like son or whatever. They said that kid was like a punk. Like he just,
oh, and they just,
he was like a little, like if they messed up their lines, he would always like kind of push back at them and be like, that's not how the line goes.
Oh, well, thank you for telling me, you little shit.
Thanks, Timmy.
I'll be there for you with my foot up your ass. I'll be there for you. Thank you. That's.
Oh man. Thank you for that.
Is your kid going to be a child actor?
Oh, absolutely not. If he wants to be, he can do whatever he wants to be, Rob. If he can do whatever he wants. But knowing with our luck, he'll probably become like a professional basketball player or something. I don't know, something so outside of what we do.
Which one is the basketball?
I don't know, Rob.
That's the one with the sticks.
Dribble, dribble, dribble.
Oh, from Promises.
She likes
Promises.
Basketball. How about that?
We have something in common to talk. Worst song in Promises, Promises ever. Wanting Things. I love She Likes Basketball. She Likes Basketball is one of my favorite songs.
It drives me crazy when people do it not good.
You just don't like this song.
I don't love it. But the Wanting Things is one of the worst, most misogynistic, stupid,
wanting
horrible,
things.
Like...
Needing
like,
things.
Like...
Now, little chick. Like, now, wait, I'm going to blow your mind. The actor who was the original Wanting Things in Promises, Promises shows up in Golden Girls. He's one of Blanche's suitors. Which suitor is he?
I know.
Tick tock, tick tock.
No, I don't know. I know. I'm not going to get it. Promises, I'm not going to get it in time.
The episode where Blanche goes on a date with the blind guy, the sports writer.
It was just on the other day.
And he was blind. That's him. That's the guy who's wanting things, needing things. That just can't.
Things but like
it's the vague. It's almost like they were like the show was done, and they were like, "Does the boss need a song?" And they're like, "Well, what should we give?" And we open an hour.
Let's talk about like mistresses. You know, let's make a song about mistresses.
And they're like, "Edward, can you just improvise? Wanting things, needing things, just can't like, be mine." No. Do it again, Edward. Oh, wanting things. And they were just like, "That's it." That's it. You got a song. Congratulations.
Booked and blessed.
But I love Promises, Promises. And I love
love the score. And I think it's a really fun score.
Whoever would have dreamed, never would have thought, because it's the rhythm
it's
of
catchy.
A dribble.
It's so catchy.
Ball. Yet, da, 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 da. Okay, never mind.
Oh, you've dribbled? Have you dribbled a lot up? You've dribbled a lot.
I have dribbled. Yes, I can't swallow liquid. Yes.
Get out of here. Oh, my God.
Yes. No, that's it.
Moisturize my mustache.
Kevin's going to go moisturize his mustache. I am going to sing She Likes Basketball.
I love it.
And then I'm going to go see Van Johnson in La Cage aux Folles at the Palace Theater with George Hearn. Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, just go back, look at favorite things, just search Van Johnson on David Letterman.
Thank you.
And you'll be a happy person. All right, everyone. Till next time. All right.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.